Annie, just say hello to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I thought I'd never in my life get her to even go near a microphone. And if it wasn't for Allison tonight, she would never have done it. Well, what do you think, folks? Was that a good Rush Limbaugh imitation or what? Pooh, I want to thank you so much for helping out.
You're welcome.
And for providing the Rush Limbaugh props. And for being the engineer for the Rush Limbaugh Broadcasting an Excellent Show.
I like her when she did that.
Me too. Okay, Allison, since you did such a wonderful job, and Pooh, since you did such a wonderful job at assisting, this is just for you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I have a stack of things that I need to reveal to you tonight and tomorrow night and the next night until I get through this. It's all current events and news and things that you need to know. Things are happening. They're happening very fast. And I'm going to read you a letter. I'm going to read you an article that is going to appear in the next issue of Veritas. And I'm going to read you an article that appeared originally in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, written by Ari Shavit, and that was reprinted in the New York Times. And I think a lot of this stuff is just going to floor you. I'm going to make a prediction now because I can clearly see a pattern forming here, ladies and gentlemen, and I remember a remark that President William Clinton made on the Larry King show last year. In early 1995. Larry King was asking him about the 96 election and about his campaign and all that kind of stuff, and Bill Clinton made a remark that nobody else in the whole country picked up except for me. I heard it loud and clear. It was like somebody was beating it into my brain. He said, and I quote, "I don't think there's going to be a 96 election," end quote. I can see the preparations now. I warned you about the escalation of terrorist attacks, and I was right. The caller last night was absolutely correct. There was a terrorist attack in Saudi Arabia, which killed several Americans and wounded a whole lot more. If you look at the building, it looks just like the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City after the bomb explosion there. Only the attack made in Saudi Arabia was not a Ryder rental truck with fertilizer. It was a huge, gigantic truck full of high explosive military type. It's a wonder more people weren't killed outright. I've got to tell you that right now. But the amazing thing is that the instructions of the Pentagon and the State Department were that all foreign embassies, military installations, barracks, etc., 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 were supposed to be barricaded so that no truck could ever get close enough to cause this kind of thing to happen. So somebody intentionally disobeyed that order so that it could happen. And it did. And I got to tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen. I can see the preparations. I can see the media propaganda on television preparing you for the worst terrorist attack in the history of the world to occur at the Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia, this summer, after which martial law will be declared. Patriots and militia members across this country will be pursued and tracked down. A civil war will erupt. There will be no 1996 elections. I can see it just as if I were gazing into a crystal ball. All across this country, they are storing foreign, Russian, and Eastern Bloc equipment. Most of it is NBC warfare type equipment. It is either for decontamination or for use in a contaminated area. All of it can be buttoned up tighter than a drum. And it has filters for radiation and for biological warfare and chemical agents. All across this country, foreign military personnel are here training. It's not a joke. It's not a lie. It is not supposition. It is not a guess. It is fact collected by intelligence service operatives all over this country. We have photographs. We have documentation. We have witnesses. We have tape recording of people asking people dressed in United States Army uniforms who can't speak English. We now have a German Air Force base on American soil, a permanent German Air Force base, not a training detachment. Not some people are coming over here for just a little while. A permanent German Air Force base on United States soil at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico. German, East German, and other Eastern Bloc pilots have been brought to the United States and have been training at terrain identification from the air for several years now. I'm going to tell you this, and you had better listen to me. If you're not ready for a complete breakdown of society and civil war within the next year, you had better get ready right this moment, because I'm telling you, I can smell it, I can taste it, I can feel it, I can see it. The Olympic Games have nothing to do with the taxpayers of the United States of America, yet they are assembling the largest military and security and police and government force in the history of the world to perform security operations at the Olympic Games at the expense of the American taxpayers. And it's going to cost several hundred million dollars, and I'm telling you right now, for several hundred million dollars, we do not need the Olympic Games in the United States of America, ever. If it cannot support itself from its own revenues, it does not need to be here. And for the danger that it represents to the Republic and to the people who are going to attend, I say, tell the Olympic Games to go somewhere else. Get them out of America and do it now. Cancel it. If that doesn't happen, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that the globalists, the lying socialist puke-faced dog pigs in this world are going to kill people at the Olympics in Atlanta. And President Clinton's prediction that there will be no 96 election will come true. Did you just hear what they said? They're making the war against terrorism the major agenda at the G7 meeting. Do you think it's coincidence, ladies and gentlemen, that just in time, when Clinton is going down the tubes, all of these revelations about him are coming out now, he's in deep trouble, really deep, deep trouble. Everybody is objecting to what's happening. Americans are up in arms. All of a sudden, a bomb goes off in Saudi Arabia and kills a whole bunch of Americans, and now Clinton is back on solid ground. You had better heed my warning. You had better heed my warning. Every prediction I've made has come true. It's going to escalate even further. I believe this is the year that is, ladies and gentlemen. You see, they have to have their new world order by the year 2000. That's when the window closes. At midnight, ladies and gentlemen, the last day of December 1999, their window closes on the new world order. That's what they're talking about when they say that they only have a short window in order to bring their plans to fruition. You know why? Because as soon as the first day of the year 2000 dawns and there is no Messiah and there is no fulfillment of any prophecy whatsoever, nobody will fall for their new world order anymore. It'll be all over. It'll be done with, finished. And all of those who have been neutralized by this bullshit will all of a sudden be unneutralized, and we'll know that it was all a scam, like it's been a scam every single time it's ever happened. All of you who are waiting for the great Messiah, I'm telling you right now, he's not going to be here. And if he is, he's not going to be the Messiah. He will be what you call the Antichrist. He will be a liar, a deceiver. Pay attention. I'm giving you a warning. And I've never felt so strong about anything that I've ever said before. I can see it all taking shape. It's so easy to decipher. And remember what I delivered to you the other night. I gave you the whole history from the Roman Empire through the Third Reich right up to the present day. And if you can't see it, you're blind. Blind as a bat. Dear Bill, we haven't heard from you at all since we mailed you the last package of documents. We, too, have been caught up in continuing research as well as the daily struggle to make a living and survive. Here is something precious to our hearts and minds. This marvelous tape is of a lecture given by one of our most beloved heroes, Leonard Peikoff, in 1986. You may remember his book, The Ominous Parallels, from which you've quoted over the air. Peikoff delivered this speech at the Ford Hall Forum to a sizable audience. I'm not going to play that tonight, folks, because I haven't heard it yet, but as soon as I have and determine how much time it is, I may play that on the air. And I continue. Lee and I realize, after having pulled together documents, manuscripts, historical, scientific, and technological data, political data on all the world's religions, covert and overt, philosophies and political systems, that only our founding fathers were legitimate politically, and only objectivism is sane, legitimate, or moral philosophically. This tape may just begin to explain why. We've also enclosed a little cartoon from a very useful book source we've ordered from them ourselves. They seem to understand what's going on. They carry interesting books, essays, and pamphlets covering much, but not all, data concerning the two Hegelian factions of the world order. The owners are booksellers, not ideologues, and as such appear to hold no particular opinions themselves. They just sell the data. You read it and do your own concluding. The cartoon is certainly explicit in identifying the two factions in the battle. The Vatican Catholic faction, of course, represents mysticism and collectivism in the feudalistic communism form, with a ruling elite. Ideologies of nihilistic mysticism, present in all religions, Eastern and Western, self-denial, environmentalism, anti-capitalism, and abrogation of any private property rights held in place by religiously or politically motivated fear and force. This is an oversimplification, of course. The British Protestant faction, British Israelism, all Protestant religions, Judaism, British Israelism, Christian identity, Christian fundamentalism, et al. It represents fascistic socialism with an anointed monarchy, primitive tribal or racist collectivism, environmentalism, ethnic cleansing, strangely, anti-Semitism. We Aryans are the true Israel, they say. Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Norse, racial primacy, etc., etc. If you read some of the literature from the Aryan nations, Pete Peters or even the Montana Freeman, you'll see the ideology of this very well-funded faction at its grassroots, in effect, Christian patriot level. Of course, by now you had realized that the infiltration and subversion of the patriot movement by religious and ethnic racial bigots and fascists was top-down Hegelian planning and goes right to the door of 6 Buckingham Gate, London, SW, England, as well as to the Tom Valentine German Nazi Bund in this country. Our nation is slated to go with the British faction. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the writer of this letter is right on the money. They've got it pinned, just like I've been teaching you all this while. There are 2 factions, one represented by the Vatican, allied with the French Grand Orient Lodge of Freemasonry, which represents communism, And the other is the British oligarchy allied with international Zionism. It is Protestant in nature. And they continue, Lee and I oppose both factions, preferring objectivism and the individualistic and enlightenment philosophies of such patriots as Patrick Henry, Ethan Allen, Thomas Paine, Thomas Jefferson, and other such heroes. And I must admit, ladies and gentlemen, so do I. The whole battle is essentially the old political power conflict between the two factions of royalty or nobility, the Guelphs and Welfs. These two noble clans can and do track their ancestry back through ancient Egypt and to ancient Mesopotamia. Imagine being so caught up in one's bloodline ancestry, another vestige of collectivist thinking, that one would destroy the world if necessary in order to conquer it. By the way, we have networked with several objectivists who have also examined the emergency law and government problem as well as the United Nations travesty. Some of these individuals are attorneys. They and we, independently but coincidentally, have concluded the same thing. If we revoke emergency law and government and return to constitutional government, we simultaneously render null and void any and all treaties made with the United Nations or any other nation or sovereign entity. This is because these treaties were made not with the constitutional United States, but with the corporate United States. Dissolve the corporate United States, dissolve the treaties. Yes, it would work. We must then focus on exposing and revoking emergency law. We hope to hear back from you on this point. Call us at home if you want to discuss it. I certainly will. That's from Lee and Gene, who have done an awful lot of intelligence gathering and input that has helped us over the years, and I thank them. But I have to tell them and all of you that if you actually really believe that you're going to solve this problem at this late date with a vote or with a fax, or with a telephone call, or with a letter to your representatives or senators, or by voting in someone to the national offices or to the White House who's going to clear up this problem, you are dreaming. It's gone too far. It's over the edge. We have no control on a national level whatsoever. They don't care about us. They don't listen to us. And they are going to have their new world order if they have to kill 6 billion people. Unfortunately, that's just about the whole world. But that's the way they think, ladies and gentlemen. And one of their goals is to reduce the overall population of the world by quite a bit. I have actually seen figures written by these people in their own reports and papers which talk about a total emerging population in the United States of America of 100 million people when the conflict is finished. That should give you some idea of what they are prepared to do and what depths of absolute tyranny that they are prepared to use in waging war upon those who would resist international socialism. I'm going to save that article for later. In fact, I may not even read it on the air. It's going to be in Veritas anyway. But you've got to hear this. It's entitled, How Easily We Killed Them. How Easily We Killed Them, by Ari Shavit, a very well-known and respected Israeli journalist who writes a column for the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, a Hebrew language newspaper from which this article was adapted. We killed 170 people in Lebanon last month. Most were refugees. A good number were women, children, and the elderly.